Today on the Community Spotlight, we have got some members from the band The Last Supper. I want to call you a local band, but you're a global band. You're an international band and you're an interplanetary band now, and we'll get into that. And we have with us today Dan Schwetz, Mike Perkins, Pete Walker. Unfortunately, Jason Woodley cannot make it. He is the drummer in the band, but this band is everybody lives in Smiths Falls. But as I said, you travel all over the place. And Dan Schwetz, it's a pleasure to have you here, sir.
Yeah, pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. So let's get right to this. Something very cool has happened for this band. Why don't you tell us what it is?
The band's been together for over 20 years, and recently we were at the Kennedy Space Center. There was a rocket that just went up with SpaceX and everything. You might have heard about it. It landed on the moon on the 22nd of February. It's the first time they've returned to the moon in 52 years. And part of the project was they sent up 222 pieces of art and music. It's all digitalized. There's stuff from Elvis Presley, Jimi Hendrix, some very famous pieces of art. I believe David Copperfield's Magic Secrets, just sort of like a time capsule of generations. And there was a handful of independent artists that were picked to go up, and the Last Supper's music was chosen, and we're now on the moon, which is pretty cool.
It is very cool. Your music here, and unfortunately, I'm a grandpa, I'm a dad. I tend to use the dad joke. Your music is now out of this world. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, I had to do it. So Dan, how did this come about? How did The Last Supper get picked to have a track on the moon?
So what happened was about a year and a half ago, I was out at a event in South Beach, Miami called Art Basel, sort of the Web3 space in that. And someone we're working with on another project, Seven Wonders, introduced me to a gentleman by the name of Trevor Cohealy. And Trevor liked what we were doing with our band, and also we're organizing a music festival at the Seven Wonders of the World. So he was interested in that. And he said he was part of a project with, I believe it's Space Blue, that was sending up a time capsule to the moon. And like everything, when you meet somebody, especially at conventions, you never know who's really talking the truth or what's going on. And then all of a sudden, there was some NASA agents there talking about everything, and I was like, "Oh my God, this looks like it's actually happening." So he submitted our music to a gentleman by the name of Dallas. He's based in Los Angeles, and liked what we were doing, and basically we got picked, and we went out about 2 weeks ago to the Kennedy Space Center. The band went out, watched it take off, and at that point for me, we really realized, like, A, this is actually happening, and just B, how big of a community it was. Met some unbelievable artists from around the world that are doing some really cool things, and that's basically it in a nutshell.
So, Pete, tell us a little bit about the song itself. What is it called? And, how did you choose it?
The song is called Musician's Prayer, and we recorded it quite a while ago. And when Dan and a drummer at the time, Mauro Scartozza, and Mike and I recorded all the tracks, and then it actually we brought it to our friends in Egypt, and we hired a group of musicians there, some of them from the Cairo Symphony, some of them local folk players, and they recorded over top of that, over top of our song, and it really became like our grand opus of a song. It's more than just a rock song, and it was always something that we how do I say it? It's with when once the strings were put on it, and a vocalist, a female vocalist from Morocco, is that right, Dan?
Yeah, she was from Morocco.
Yeah, and she sang on it, and it would be it became the obvious choice for us as our sort of highest work. Therefore, we were going to have a chance to make the cut and be one of the Luna Prize artists. That seemed like the obvious choice.
And the other thing on that, real quick, Bob, is that song, for lack of a comparison, but sort of, it's sort of our November Rain. so to speak, with the big symphony and everything. And it was interesting because originally we went in, we did all the bed tracks at Celine Dion's studio, Piccolo in Montreal. And we had been to Egypt a few times and met a very famous musician there by the name of Dia Tass. He's actually been to Smiths Falls several times. And we went over and basically, it was interesting because I went over to work with the artist there and we went into the studio. And at that point, we'd only been to Egypt a few times and you don't really know who you're meeting and who's in a studio. And he introduced me to someone and he's like, this guy will do a great string arrangement. And we were like, yeah, we sort of want to get a Kashmir Zeppelin feel to it. And the gentleman looked at me and he said, I did all the arrangements for Page and Plant on Kashmir. So we had some of those artists work with. So it's really a worldly song. And like Pete said, it's bridging East and West. And that was the big thing for the Luna Prize, where it wasn't just a regular song sort of thing, where there's, again, the song's about struggles and artist East meets West. And that's basically why it was picked.
So, Mike, maybe you can tell us about heading down to Florida for what must have been a real surreal event for you and your bandmates.
Yeah, for me it was I let I'm the quiet member of the band. I hang back and I let things progress without me, and I just told what to do and when to do it. And so I let Dan and Pete handle all the business part of the band. So when Dan asked me, he came over to the house and he briefly went through the whole thing quick and told me what was going on. And was like, whoa, really? Okay, this is fantastic. And he said, well, would you like to go down to Florida and go to the Kennedy Space Center and watch the launch? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So it's still, I mean, remembering back, a couple of a few weeks ago watching this thing, it's still mind-boggling that it happened to us. And watching it take off through the, through the atmosphere, that our song is on there and it's going to the moon, and there it sits on the moon. And I'm just a bass player from Smiths Falls who really enjoys playing bass, and it's a great thing to have happen to us.
You have something in common with Neil Armstrong. Here comes another dad joke. You both have tracks on the moon. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
So,
Yeah, that's right.
Dan, tell us, now that, a little bit of time has gone by, and, we just heard Mike say that there's a song of yours on the moon. Have you reflected on exactly what that means and how it feels to you? Have you sort of, come back down to earth, so to speak?
Well, it's interesting because A, once it took off, that was one thing. And I can remember speaking to a couple engineers because we were out there for a full 4 days. There was a bunch of VIP events. We're working with a tequila brand from the States called Commissario. So they sponsored a bunch of events. So we did a bunch of sort of smaller, where there was 40, 50 people, the people involved in the project sort of thing. And we sort of helped actually organize a bit of the after parties and launches. So really getting to meet them was really cool. And but at the same point, there'd been a couple, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, Pete, but I believe they tried this a couple times before and it crashed, so it didn't actually land. And when I can remember speaking with somebody there, and everyone was partying and cracking bottles when it took off, and then the guy's like, hey man, I give this a 60% chance of actually landing. So at that point we're like, okay, well at least we can say we're in space. So watching it land, we were very fortunate. We did there was a global broadcast streamed, but there was I think 70,000 people around the world that watched it, and they had landing parties in Paris and Cairo and LA and New York, all over the world for the artists that were involved. And we got to perform in our rehearsal space in Smiths Falls, and that sort of our live performance got zoomed into everything. So doing that was really cool for us, and we were excited. But then I can remember, like, my mom was there, my doctor was there, some friends and family, our kids, and we're all sitting around, and they were showing it on CNN when it was landing live, and then we had the other broadcast. Because, like I said, it wasn't just our project that went up. There was, I think, four payloads that went up, but this was the actual art piece that went up. And watching it land, there was a minute there where they didn't know if it was going to land. And then it sort of, you might have heard it tipped over and they lost communication. So once it actually landed and we're like, okay, it's there. And we talked to our guy in California and he's like, no, I've already talked to them. Like our stuff's fine because it's just basically, for lack of a better word, it's a time capsule art museum that's there. So once it actually landed and we're like, okay, it was actually there. Yeah, that was really cool. And we had quite a few drinks that night and that was really exciting. And now, like you said, it's been 10 days. We're starting to do a little bit of media on it. And just, you know, we were joking the other day. One of the artists we're working with in California, I was on the phone with, and he was like, hey man, we're like part of a network of actual people now that can say their work's there. They're doing an event during Coachella that we just got invited out to in April. Actually, I didn't even tell Mike that. And
thanks.
There's that community now. So now it's like happened, but the big thing was you'll hear more about it. Like it's coming out globally. There's been media from all the different people that are part of it. So that's sinking in more now where, like, you know, at the end of the day, we've always said, you know, our band's done about 30 shows in 35 countries. And I like to think we've done some cool stuff, but you know, we're the only band in Canada that can say we've done that. And to actually be able to sit back, you know, that's never going away for us to be able to say that. You know, I don't think we'll be able to top it, for lack of a better word, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. Unless, of course, they send your music to Mars next or something like that. You never actually, know.
Because they're talking about doing that in 5 years.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Pete, what's the intention here? Is it that someday it'll be retrieved? You know, we do have plans, as you know, the people of Earth do have plans to go back to the moon at some point. Or like, what is the reasoning behind putting it up there? It's not like Voyager and the Gold Plate Records that, you know, got sent off to beyond. This is at the moon.
Yeah. There's it's a part of a bigger mission. It's called the Arch Mission. Arch Mission, ARCH Mission. And it's about just getting human achievement and just to make note of what civilization was on Earth at this time off the planet. So there's been a few other launches that have happened where it's gone out and it's like orbiting the Earth. But this is the first thing that's actually landed on the surface of the moon. It's a time capsule. So it's you know, the discs, the all of the information, the songs, and the NFTs, it's all been recorded in binary language onto nickel discs, and these nickel discs are estimated to that they'll survive 1 billion years. So it's just sort of future generations, and it's some, you know, it's like, well, why are we going to space at all, right? It's to expand human achievement and to leave a mark. And I think that was the goal. And it's just humbling that we got a chance to be a part of it.
I can only imagine, indeed. And Dan, I think you want to add something to that. And I'll also ask you just to speak about how this builds the Last Supper's legacy.
Oh, thank you. Now, yeah, on that as well, I do believe, like I said, now that it's landed, they're going to be doing, I believe, some exhibits globally with the artists that are there. And I do believe that they will be able to basically beam back what's there back to Earth. So, like I said, it'll be a virtual, almost like a metaverse sort of experience. So it's not just, it's there, we've left it there, that's it. Now sort of the real work begins. And I remember Dallas mentioning, like I said, the plan is to build on that. I was speaking with somebody when I was out in the Kennedy Space Center that was saying, you know, they believe in 20 years from now that it won't be, because I'm like, hey, man, like we're getting old in our lifetime. What do you think? And they were saying that, you know, they think in 20 years, like you can do a cruise, you're going to be able to actually go up there and go around, and that there will be a landing thing. So this will be there. So for future stuff, not just, it's there, we forgot about it. Like I said, it's there. They're going to do stuff back here with it. And then I believe they're going to add on to it as well. In terms of legacy for Last Supper, it's really interesting because I can't really not talk about this, because this is what we've been up for the last sort of, since 2019. We started working on a project called Seven Wonders World Festival Series, and we want to start a festival series basically at the Seven Wonders of the World. So we're looking at launching at the Great Pyramids in Egypt, Petra, Jordan, Machu Picchu, Chichen Itza, Taj Mahal, the list goes on. And we've been working on that nonstop. COVID hit, so everything got shut down. We were supposed to launch a year ago, and we had a few issues. So I was over in September. I've been back and forth like dozens of times the last couple of years working on it with the governments and getting ready to go. And this whole thing happened with Israel, which sort of put a damper, obviously, on the festival. I'm actually going over again in April. We're hoping to launch in October this year, if not next year. But the Seven Wonders brand, that's been a big focus, not on the band, just on this. And the fact that that's been delayed gave us time to actually work on this, which was quite interesting. And then on top of that, because Seven Wonders was involved in helping organize some of the launch events, they've now not organized, but just basically our branding, helping them with some stuff. They sent up the Seven Wonders logo, which is really cool for us. So we can say that our brand, not only the Seven Wonders, but it's also on the moon. So I think what we're sort of looking at doing now is we're back in band mode right now in the meantime, and hopefully using this, we've got a new record that's coming out. Been working on it forever. We just haven't had the right time to release it, but I think this is a great time now. We've got six songs up on Apple, and the rest will be finished in a few months. The album's called Burn the Boats, and it's sort of, as the name entails, sort of all in, last kick at the can, for lack of a better word. And I think this legacy-wise will really help us moving forward. The fact that A, our music's on the moon, and B, our next project is the Seven Wonders. So we're basically going moon, pyramids, Seven Wonders. So I don't really think we could do much more to top that. And it's just been a nice little shot in the arm for the band. We've gotten some great shows out of it. We just got booked to play next year. At New Orleans for the Super Bowl. Let's be very clear, it's outside, but it's the official NFL tailgate party for 5,000 people. So that's really good. We've got a couple festivals booked in the States out of it. We've got something coming up in Vegas. We plan on doing some more shows in the area. We do, a couple shows every year in Smiths Falls area. We do one in Perth for our doctor's event. When is that, Pete, on that one?
I think it's Saturday, August the 10th, and that's a post trauma support group that's at the Tay River Reflections.
We do that whenever,
Beginning of August.
end of August. Thank you. So we're trying to, like I said, get some momentum going again, get some shows, get the band back out. As I mentioned, Pete and I are going to overseas to Europe next Monday. We've got some press there to do, so we're hoping it'll just give sort of the band a good push. And the one thing too that I would like to mention, Bob, is it's not just our song, it's also an NFT, or basically a video that we've attached to it. We've worked with an artist. His name is Ozan. He is from Istanbul. We met his dad in 2000, was it, or 2001? We
2000.
did a concert there for the earthquake victims, and we spent quite a bit of time in Turkey. Met Dawood. He sort of became like a dad to us. We shipped our bus from Canada over to Europe. We did it when it was in Istanbul, just became really good friends. And it was interesting because when I was in Miami, where this whole thing sort of unfolded, I called Dawood and said, "Oh, there's a ton of NFT stuff going on out here." I didn't know much about it. I was very ignorant. And I said, "What's your son's website? Because maybe I can help him out." And he's like, "Oh, Oz is actually out there right now doing some huge stuff for it." So Oz is already a famous artist in his own right. He works with bands such as EDM bands. I don't know if you've heard of Tale of Us. They're really one of the biggest groups in the world. He does their visuals. And when we got the chance to submit our music, it was a really last minute thing where they had sort of had a spot for us. And he's like, "Well, do you have any visuals?" And I'm like, I'll never forget, Trevor called me. It was about 4 o'clock in the morning, rang me about five times. My wife's like, "Who's calling at 4 o'clock in the morning?" And he was out in LA, so the time difference. And he's like, "You've got 6 hours. I need this submitted. If you want to put visuals, I need them now." So I reached out to Dawood in Istanbul, and said, "Does your son have anything that we could use?" You know, it takes months and months to make this. And what really was amazing was he was able to find, I think there's about 8 or 9 pieces in there for our music. And you would swear the video was done for this. And it was pieces that he had probably spent over a year making that he already had done that he hadn't sold. So he was able to quickly edit all that into the music. I mean, he's got visuals of, you know, mankind starting, astronauts, and it just fit perfectly. You could not get a better fit. And it was really interesting because, sadly to say, the gentleman who made this happen for us, I mentioned earlier, Trevor, he passed away last October, suddenly, very young age. And I will say this because, just as a warning, he took something that he shouldn't have taken, and it had fentanyl in it, so he died, which was just really sad. I talked to him the night before, a young man, 32 years old, and his vision was always about working on a project called Dreamy, which is a mascot for humanity, and trying to get Dreamy to the moon and all this stuff. And the fact that, you know, he's passed away, and, you know, a year later, whatever, it's happening, or 8 months later, it's happening, and our project was part of it. And the gentleman's artwork that I told you about, who did our artwork, Oz, right in the actual video, the first thing that comes up is dreams. So there was a lot of real sort of weird synergies there. Not to get too hokey pokey, but Trevor had a tattoo on his arm that said 222 that he put on his arm, I think about 3 or 4 years ago. And he was like, "This is when my stuff's going to land on the moon." And that's the date that it landed on the moon. And that was before he even people. So just sort of seeing that whole thing, not to get too emotional, but it was just really weird. The fact that we met this guy through somebody, you know, 8 months later, our stuff's on the moon, and he helped make it happen, and it matched what we did visually and lyrically. And yeah, it was pretty cool.
No doubt. Well, an incredible accomplishment from this band. A bunch of guys from Smiths Falls have their music on the moon, and a lot more. It is really a great story, and it's been a pleasure to speak with you all today. Dan Schwetz, Mike Perkins, and Pete Walker, thank you so much for doing this.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure. Listen to the station all the time.
I'm glad to hear it. And one more time, it's Burn the Boats, and you can get it on Apple, right?
And Spotify.
And Spotify. Perfect.
And Spotify.
All right. Members of the band, The Last Supper, they have a track on the moon and some artwork going along with that as well. I don't get to say that every day, so that's pretty cool. And if I find that cool, you guys must be just over the moon. Sorry. One last dad joke for you there. Thanks so much, guys. Thanks for being on MyFM.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Cheers.
Take care.